We are coming to the end of this chapter, King Chitraketu's lamentation, and we are reading verse number 57. But today, after reciting this verse, we'll have to complete the chapter because there are no purports, and go to the next chapter, which is the saints Narad and Angira instruct King Chitraketu. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Uttishtha Tata Ta Ime Shishavo Vayasya Vayasyaha Tvam Ahvayanti Nupanandana Samvihartum Suptasiram Hiyashanaya Cha Bhavan Parito Bhungshva Stanam Piba Shucho Hara Naha Svakanam Uttishtatata ime shisho vayasya Tvama vayanti nupananda samvirtam Suptasciram hyashanaya cha bhavan parito Bhungshastvanam pibashucho haranasvakanam Atha, my dear son, te, de, ime, all these, shishavaha, children, vayasaha, playmates, tvam, you, avayanti, are calling, nrupanandana, O son of the king, samvihartam, to play with, suptaha, you have slept. Chiram, for a long time. He, indeed. Ashanaya, by hunger. Cha, also. Bhavan, you. Paritaha, overcome. Bhungshva, please eat. Stanam, at the breast of your mother. Piba, drink. Shuchaha, lamentation. Hara, just dissipate. Naha, of us. Svakanam, your relatives. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, please repeat. My dear son, you have slept a long time. Now please get up. Your playmates are calling you to play. Since you must be very hungry, please get up and suck my breast. And dissipate our lamentation. Then we go to 58. Naham tanujadadrishe hatamangalate mugdasmitam mudidavikshanamananabjam kimvagatosya punaranvayam manya lokam nito grnenana shrunomi kalagiraste. My dear son, I am certainly most fortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. Most unfortunate, for I can no longer see your mild smiling. You have closed your eyes forever. I therefore conclude that you have been taken from this planet to another, from which you will not return. My dear son, I can no longer hear your pleasing voice. Then verse number 59, Sri Shuka Vacha, Vilapantya Amritam Putram, Iti Chitra Vilapanaihi, Chitra Ketur Drisham Tapto, Mukta Kantho Rurodaha. Sri Shukdeva Goswami continued, accompanied by his wife, who was thus lamenting for her dead son, Chitraketu began to cry loudly with an open mouth, being greatly aggrieved. Number 60, Tayor Vilapitoho Sarve Dampatyoho Tadanu Vrataha Ruruduhu Smanaranaryaha Sarvamasi Dachetanam. As the king and queen lamented, all their male and female followers joined them in crying. Because of the sudden accident, all the citizens of the kingdom were almost unconscious. 61 and the last of this chapter, evam kashmalam apannam nashta sangnam anayakam jnatvam giranama rishihi rajagama sanaradha. When the great sage Angira understood that the king was almost dead in an ocean of lamentation, he went there with Narad Rishi. Now from the last verse, we know that the king Angira, Narad Muni and the sage Angira, both of them appear in front of the king in order to stop his lamentation. With this we go, Jai Sri Radha Gopinath Ki, Jai. In this way, we go to the 15th chapter, next chapter. This, we have to assimilate a story from the last chapter, that the king had a son, only one son, and with great difficulty he could get the son. He was not getting the sons. He did not have the children at all, Chitraketu. Somehow or other, because they performed the penances, Angira Rishi was very pleased by the service of the Chitraketu king, and he wanted to give the benediction. So the king asked for a son. But in his destiny, he was not supposed to have a son. It's a long story of the Vritrasur demon, how he was cursed and he was not supposed to have a king. But we'll relate the story afterwards. But at the moment you understand that if something is planned according to the plan of the Lord, then nobody can change that plan. But the Angira Rishi was very pleased. So he wanted to give the benediction. And because he had promised him to give the benediction, whatever king asked, in the end Angira Rishi was forced to give. But even then, we cannot ignore the destiny. And so Angira Rishi told him that I will give you a son, you will get a son, but he will be the cause for happiness and lamentation. And the cause of the happiness was that after a long time he could get an heir apparent to his throne. He thought that let me have the son and then we'll see about the lamentation. Let me have first happiness and then I'll consider about the lamentation. I would not lament. In that way Chitraketu was satisfying himself. Somehow or the other, his first queen got a son. And that was the cause of extreme happiness. In the kingdom everybody was very happy, but they didn't know that he was short-lived and he will be killed eventually. And exactly it so happened that the co-wives of the king were jealous of the queen, Kritadevi, and because they were jealous, they tried to poison the son, the young son. And within no time, the young son had to succumb his life because of the poisoning. And as soon as they found that the son is dead, there was the cause of grievous lamentation. They could not tolerate his death. But that's why Angira Rishi had told them that he will be the source of the happiness and at the same time he will be the source of the lamentation. And this particular story is revolving around the envious nature of the co-wives. We have to remember that we are very envious of each other. We may see each other and smile at each other, talk to each other, but in the heart of the hearts we hate each other. And most probably we hate the Supreme Person. Then why should Krishna stand on the high altar? Why cannot I sit there? If we can, we'll just remove the deities and we will sit there and glorify me. Come on. This is how we want to enjoy. And this is the root cause of all our troubles. It's not only the envy is playing a part, important part in Chitraketu's life or Kritadevi's life. But everywhere, you see the root cause of Ramayana? What was it? You know root cause of Ramayana? Yes, what was it? So why are you silent? Envy. Envy, what was that envy? Yes. Yes, Mata? Yeah, envious of the Ram, Lord Ram. No, it was much more deeper than that. Kaikeyi was equally loving to Lord Ram. And in the beginning when it was decided that Lord Ram is to be enthroned tomorrow as a king. She was very happy and she was preparing. But there was her maid servant, Manthara, and she was really like a snake. And you know the nature of the snake, that without any cause, the snake bites. Without any cause. Doesn't require any cause. You come across the snake, it will come immediately near you and bite without any reason. And that was the reason of Mantra's envy. She was without any reason, she was envious. And she thought that how to remove the Lord Ram, you know, from this position. She didn't want Lord Ram to be the king. Maybe it's the plan of the Lord, you know. And according to the plan of the Lord, all we living entities behave helplessly. Avasha. And Prakriti Jair Gunaihi. Karyate hi avashaha. We always karya. Karyate, we perform our activities. Avashaha, unconsciously. We don't know the plan of the Lord. Parikshit Maharaja was not supposed to be angry when the sage did not welcome him. We know in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that Parikshit Maharaja went to the forest and he couldn't get any hunting animal, and because he was running after the animals till evening, he was lost from his crowd and he was all alone. He was hungry and thirsty. Normally he could have tolerated hunger and thirst because he was a devotee. Before the birth, he was protected by Vishnu in the womb of his mother. And such a nice devotee gets upset because the sage is in meditation and he is not welcoming the king. See this way. This is how we helplessly behave. Parikshit Maharaja was completely helpless because he had to fit in himself according to the plans of the Lord. Lord has his own plan. Our plans don't work. That's why we get frustrated. I try to be successful financially, to be successful materially. I want this, I want that. But we don't know that Daiva Hatartha Rachana Rushayopi Deva Yushmat Prasanga Vimukaha Iha Samsaranti. Krishna is very clear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Daiva Hatartha Rachana. As soon as you make your plans, there is Daiva. We don't know. Your destiny is hanging on your head. You come all the way from India to this country. You come all the way from Poland to Radhadesh. And you people are also coming from different parts to this part, just to find out the happiness. And we are fortunate that we are at the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, Yushmat Prasanga Vimukaha. As soon as we become bereft of the topics of Krishna, and if we are not interested in the topics of the Supreme Lord, then Daiva Hatartha Rachana, then the destiny just smashes your plans. And as soon as the destiny smashes your plans, the devotee, not only devotee but the ordinary persons, devotee has nothing to gain and nothing to lose. That is the quality of a devotee. Anyway, we didn't have anything when we came, when we were born. And where will we go? We are not going to take anything. So whatever comes and goes, he remains here. That is very clear to the devotee's mind. And so devotee is not disturbed. But these ordinary persons, they are completely perplexed. Daiva Hatartha Rachana. They don't know that the destiny is there to smash their plans. And that's why Dasharatha Raja planned very nicely that Ram should be the king tomorrow. And he wanted to retire. He wanted to have a happy retired life. His Daiva did not like it. And the Daiva is nothing else. Our destiny is nothing else but the reactions to our own karmas. We have performed the activities and then we have to reap the results. At the time of the performing activities, we don't have any idea that what will be the reaction and how I will be suffering. We don't have any idea at all. Dasharatha Raja went for hunting in the forest and he could not find any animal till evening, and it was almost dark and then he could not really see anything, but somebody came to fill in the water, you know, from the Ganges, and it was Shravana. It was a nice boy who was carrying his parents on his shoulders to take them to pilgrimage because the parents were blind. And so that boy came to fill in the water because the parents said that we are thirsty and please go and get the water from Ganges river. And as soon as the boy went to the river, Ganges river, to fill in the lota, so he just put the lota into the water and there was some sound that somebody is drinking the water. So Dasharatha Raja thought that there is some animal, you know, come to drink water at the Ganges. He didn't see, and he was very expert in archery. So he shot the arrow according to the sound, to the direction of the sound. And eventually the arrow hit the target. And as soon as the arrow hit the target, there was a human scream, because it was Shravana who was dying that time. Immediately Dasharathaja went to him. He could have ignored as a king, but the king was really Rishi. He was sage and he couldn't ignore. So he ran to the dying person. He says, "What have I done? I thought that some animal has come." And Shravana was completely dying. So while dying he said, "Please, my parents are waiting for water, take the water to them and reveal that I am not there now." So Dasharathaja went to the parents and told the story that this has happened and I am very sorry, but it is I who have committed this crime. So please, I am very sorry, but accept the water and what can I do for you? Instead of that, the parents were completely disturbed because of the death of the son. And when they were disturbed, they also died without the son. So they cursed Dasharathaja that you will die as we are dying without our son. Shravana, you will also die without your son. And that destiny was lurking over the head of Dasharathaja. He didn't know. And then mantra became the instrument. Avashaha, unconsciously, that maid servant was envious of Lord Ram, according to the plan of Lord Ram. And then she went to Kaikeyi. She said, "How to achieve my end?" She wanted to remove Ram. So she found out a nice plan. She went to Kaikeyi, and what to tell Kaikeyi, otherwise Kaikeyi will not agree. So she said that your son Bharat is not getting the throne. He will not be the king, and Lord Ram will use him as his servant for the whole of lifetime. Instead, you should go and tell your husband that Lord Ram cannot be the king and my Bharat must be the king. And this was the envy, the envious nature, you know, plays around. And with all due respect to Mataji's, this envy is very prominent in them. It's a mean nature. It is just a nature. Nobody is to be blamed about it. We can ignore, as a male human beings, we can forget about sometime, we can do this or we can do, but it is very difficult for women to forget these things. And then what happened? That as soon as Kaikeyi thought about this, she was completely intoxicated by mantra, you know, by her maid servant. And then once you are intoxicated, you behave like a mad person. And she remembered that Dasharathaja had given the benedictions to Kaikeyi. And as soon as she remembered, she thought that I will ask the benedictions today. And she went to Dasharathaja. And she had her own way to dictate her terms with the husband. And she went and told that, "You remember you had given me benedictions one day? Two benedictions. Now I want to ask them." So Dasharathaja was very pleased because he thought that tomorrow Lord Ram is going to be king. He said, "Come on, ask, I will give you everything." And she asked that tomorrow the Lord Ram should not be enthroned. And the second benediction she asked, that not only that, but he should be banished from Ayodhya and he should go to the forest for 12 years. And this was the death blow for Dasharathaja. He could not tolerate. Couldn't tolerate. He requested Kaikeyi, "Please ask anything else and I will give you. Ask for the whole kingdom and I will give you." He said, "No, I have asked you. If you are true to your benedictions, give me this. Otherwise I don't want to see your face." And then Dasharathaja was completely unconscious. And in the meantime, Lord Ram came. And then, because Ram is very famous for obeying the orders of his parents, particularly his father. So for his father, he asked that, "What is happening?" And when he knew that this is the cause, that he is the cause of all the disturbance, so he accepted the orders of his stepmother. And eventually we know that he had to leave and go to the forest and the whole Ramayana was then performed. This is destiny. Destiny will never allow you to rest in peace. The bhagya, it is known in Sanskrit as bhagya. And the nature of bhagya is that when you are laughing, the bhagya will cry. Bhagya will not like you to laugh. And as soon as you cry, bhagya laughs. That is the nature. Some or the other, it will catch you. It will catch you somewhere. And it will catch you right at the point when you think that you are going to be happy. The same time it will catch you. You know that very nice story that who Greek man, Syphilis? There was, I don't exactly remember the name. Syphilis, he was trying to push the stone on the hill, you know. There was a man, anyway, he was a Greek man, Syphilis or somebody, I don't remember the name exactly. But what he did, that he had a plan. He had a big stone, you know, and he wanted to push that stone on the top of the hill. And people told that you are mad. There are so many stones at the top of the hill. There is no need of this stone pushing up the hill. But you know, he said, I want to do it. So day and night he was laboring to push that hard stone all the way up to the peak of the mountain, you know. And then he, somehow or the other, from years of labor, he pushed that big stone to the hill. How much labor he could have exhausted, you know, just to push the whole big stone at the top of the peak of the mountain. And then eventually when he went there, he found out that there is no place to put that stone there. So as soon as he took the stone there, the other side it glided down immediately. This is bhagya. You try hard, you kill yourself, and when you think that you will be happy, you are completely down into the valley. This is bhagya. Bhagya will never leave you. And definitely it is the reaction or the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord was Ram must go into the forest. Lord should not be the king. That was the plan. And he should be there for 12 years, and the whole thing we know then how Sita was kidnapped and how she was taken to the Ravan's kingdom, and then the battle ensued, and then eventually the demon was killed. This we know. But because of these things, Lord had his own plan. And he didn't wish that Lord Ram should be there as a king. And these things happened because of the envy of one maid servant, negligent maid servant. You take the example of Karna. You know Karna? Pandava's elder brother. But because he was born when Kunti was unmarried, she could not keep him. It's a long story, you know, how Kunti was benedicted to invoke, she could invoke any demigod and get a son. And for a fun, she got this benediction from Durvasaruji because of very nice service, and she was very happy to have the benediction, you know. So she tried. One day she was standing in the gallery and she saw a beautiful sun coming out, you know, a golden sun coming out. So she thought, if she can invoke sun god, it would be very nice. And she invoked sun god. Sun god came, Vivaswan. And as soon as Vivaswan came in front of her, she was completely perplexed. Now what to do? She said, she didn't understand what is to be done. So she said, now you please go back. Because it was just fun, I had invoked you. No, he said, I must give you a son, as I have come. And she was completely perplexed. She said, I am unmarried. How can you give me a son? I am completely, I can't keep the son. I don't want it. No, he says, you have invoked and you must get it. But one thing I will tell you, that you will not lose your virginity. You will be virgin even then, even if you have a son. And then that son was born out of the year of Kunti. And that year is known as Karna in Sanskrit. And that's why he was known as Karna. And the father was sun god. And because of sun god's mercy, he had kavach and kundal with him when he was born. Such a powerful sun god, such a mother like Kunti. And see the destiny of Karna, that Kunti was not able to keep him. And then what to do with that small child? So she put him in a box and floated in a Ganges river. See, none of his fault, none of Karna's fault. But see the destiny, how it is working. And not only that, but when it was floating, somehow or the other, he was caught by the fisherman and his wife, Radha. And then he was brought up by them. Karna did not know that his father is sun god and his mother is Kunti. And he was all the time thinking that that fisherman is his father and the fisherwoman, that is Radha, is his mother. And that's why Karna is known, the other name of Karna is Radheya, because he is the son of Radha. So all the time up to the 16 years of age, till he got to his age, he was under the impression that my father is fisherman and my mother is his wife, Radha. And this way, he was brought up to 16 years of age. But because he had a Kshatriya blood, and he was very powerful, sun god's son, so he wanted to be very expert in archery. He wanted to learn archery, to all the knowledge about throwing the arrows at his enemy. He wanted to conquer the whole world and become the most important king. And this was his desire, burning desire in his mind. So what happened? Then he must go to some guru to learn this vidya, to learn this knowledge. So he thought that who is the best guru? Dronacharya. So I must approach Dronacharya. So he went to Dronacharya. He said, I want to learn archery. Yeah, please accept me as a disciple. Dronacharya said, who are you? He said, I am Sutaputra. That is fisherman's, you know. My mother is a Brahmin and father is Sut. That is fisherman. So he said, no, because you are a Shudra. I won't accept Shudra disciple. He was completely dejected. None of his fault. And he was not Shudra. See the destiny how plays. He was not. And even then, all the time he was calling himself as Sutaputra, Sutaputra, Sutaputra. He was not Sutaputra at all. But see how Lord arranges the plans. Because Lord knew that this Karna is very powerful. And if he takes the knowledge of this throwing the arrows, archery, if he becomes expert in archery, he will definitely be much more expert than Arjuna. And Lord did not want that. Krishna did not want that. Krishna wanted him to be lower than Arjuna. And somehow or the other he was very powerful. But Lord's plan always works. And he kept Karna into the disguised position for the whole of his life. And because of this, Karna could not find a guru in Dronacharya. So then he went to celestial guru, Bhargava. And he requested him going to Bhargava, please accept me as a disciple. I want to be expert in archery. Then what happened? That he thought, now Bhargava will ask me the question, who am I? And if I tell him that I am Sutaputra, again this fellow will deny. He won't accept me as a disciple. So he lied a bit. He said, I am half Brahmin and half Shudra. So don't mind, I will call myself Brahmin. So he said, I am Brahmin. Bhargava was very happy. Hey, you are Brahmin? Come, I'll teach you. Bhargava was very happy to have a Brahmin disciple. And he taught the whole knowledge to Karna. And Karna became expert in archery. And now he could defeat anybody and everybody, much more than Arjuna. And such a powerful he became because of the archery. And he had a dream now that as soon as he goes out, he will conquer the whole empire and be a very prominent king. That was his desire. And that was the point when he could achieve. He had completed his education, learning archery very successfully under a celestial guru, Bhargava. And nobody will be able to defeat him. But Lord's plans work. You know what happened? When the time came to take leave from Guru, so they both were moving in the garden, in Guru's garden, in ashram, you know. So when they were both moving, Guru thought that I will take a rest now for a while under a tree. So he told Karna that please go to the ashram and bring the deer skin roll so that I can use it as a pillow and I will take rest under a tree. So Karna thought that I have to serve my Guru anyway. Now it's time to go away. So I will serve my Guru. So he said, there is no need of me going to ashram to bring the deer skin roll. You do, Guru. I want to serve you. And so I will sit under a tree and you take rest on my lap. So Guru was really pleased with the disciple, you know. So he is very nice, obliging disciple. So Guru slept on his lap. And as soon as he put his head on the lap, he slept. And in the meantime, what I mean, see the destiny, how Bhagya works, you know. Under the lap, under his lap, there was a horrible insect. And it was cutting his lap. Not only stinging. The sting is, we cannot tolerate the sting. But this insect was cutting the lap. And it's a horrible pain Karna had. But he thought that if he moves the lap, Guru will be disturbed. So he didn't want to disturb Guru. So he tolerated. See, he tolerated that cut from the insect. And the insect did not stop. It cut the whole of his thigh and came up. And the blood was coming out. But he tolerated it till he could. But eventually the insect came up and the blood was flowing, gushing out from his leg. And it touched the cheek of Guru. And as soon as Guru was touched by the blood, he said, what is it? And he saw the blood everywhere, you know. He said, what's happening? And the Karna was very pleased to tell him that he tolerated all these inconveniences so that Guru should not be disturbed. Instead of being happy at the disciple, see the plan of the Lord. That Guru was completely angry upset seeing this incident. He said, the Brahmana cannot tolerate this. So tell me the truth, you are not Brahmana. He doubted. You know, because Brahmana, if he sees the insect, he will run 5 miles. We have developed that quality now, that if we see something dreadful, we'll just run away from there. That is Brahmin quality. And he says, definitely you are not Brahmana, tell me the truth. And eventually Karna had to tell the truth. See, while the day was there, when he wanted to take leave from Guru, he could have taken leave and brought the deer skin and let Guru sleep and on a pillow of deer skin. But Lord's plan worked. And that's why he wanted to serve Guru. He tolerated this much for Guru. And instead of being pleased, Guru was angry with him. And Guru found out that he is not Brahmin. And I have taught the Vidya to somebody else. And see, when Karna told him the story, he was really very upset. And he said, I will curse you now. Whatever I have taught you, at the time of the need, you will forget it. This was a horrible curse. You know. At the time of the need, if he forgets the archery, then how can he win the enemies? So his dream was completely smashed, completely shattered. Like Lord Ram. Next day, Lord Ram was to be the king of the whole planet. And immediately his dream was completely shattered because of this mantra's envy. And here the Bhagya is playing with Karna. Karna is at the top of the happiness now, at the top of the peak. And as soon as he reached the top of the peak, there was no place for the stone and it glided down into the valley. And the whole labor was completely lost. This way, the whole labor of Karna was completely lost. And he came to the down, completely dejected. He didn't know what is happening. He didn't know. And this is the cause of the frustration in our life also. Because we don't know. We don't know the intricacies of this Bhagya. We don't know the intricacies of our destiny. And when the reaction comes of our own action, then we become frustrated. And we completely lose ourselves. And if we haven't taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, we will go and commit suicide. And that is what is happening. You know, the other day we knew, where? Liesi? Which is the name of the town here? Liesi? Liesi? Liesh. Liesh. And we were passing through Liesh, you know. And these, you told me, I think, you're a guru, you know. Our Aprema told that in this town is very famous for suicide. And particularly after Christmas. Because before Christmas, they enjoy. They drink and they do this and do that. And they enjoy. And then after Christmas, there is no money left. Unemployment is there. No liquor, no friends, nothing at all. And so they are frustrated. And as soon as they are frustrated, there are tall buildings. They jump from the building. And our friend was driving one day, and he saw one lady jumping from fourth floor. He was not merciful to her. Otherwise, she would have been saved. So, but she died as soon as she fell on the footpath. You know, this is the effect of our not tolerating our destiny. We can't. If we have this knowledge that it is the Lord who is in control, then we will tolerate the destiny. In the same way, Chitraketu was not able to tolerate. And the destiny of Karna did not stop here. Then he went to sea coast just to see the water, you know. If we see the mass of water, we feel a bit satisfied. And that's why we are mad after going to sea coast and beaches, you know. But we have a perverted enjoyment that we sleep there naked and enjoy the sun and this. It's not that. It is the sight of the water which satisfies you. You go on the sea coast and sit there and look at the water, you know the energy of Krishna. You go to the mountain and you feel the energy of Krishna in the mass of the stone. You go to Himalayas and people, thousands of people, they go to the Himalayan pilgrim centers. Why? Because they want to see the mass of the stone. And when we see that great mass of the stone, our mind completely boggles. Because we are habituated to see the stones, small stones. And as soon as you go high up there, the mass of stone is standing unlimited. And then we know what Krishna is, you know. And unknowingly we are shocked. You know, Adbhut, that is one of the rasas, one of the mellows, that we are completely shocked when we see the mass of the stone or the great water, everywhere water. You go in a steamer and your steamer becomes like a very small thing and everywhere you see the water. And that gives you the idea of the energy of Krishna. And that's why we are very satisfied. So Karna went and sat near the coast. Then after some time, he felt a bit better. Somehow or the other, he pacified himself. And then he wanted to walk towards the fields, you know. So he wanted to go somewhere. He started walking. And what happened? See the destiny. Again, how it plays. Some animal ran from his side. And it was very swift. So he thought that it's deer. And he was very expert in archery. So without looking at the animal, he shot the arrow. And the arrow hit the animal. And the animal completely fell dead. He went to see the animal. And it, to his surprise, it was not a deer, but it was a cow. Phew, he said, God. Yeah? Destiny never stops. Difficulties don't come singly. That you have to remember. In our life, there won't be one difficulty. When the difficulty attacks you, it attacks in a group. All the difficulties come together. And they drive you completely mad. Completely mad. And we run around without any shelter everywhere. This is the nature of the difficulties. And Karna was victimized by these unknown difficulties. He said, oh, what have I done? I have killed a cow. But anyway, he was praying the Lord, please, I didn't know, and unknowingly I have done. But whether knowingly or unknowingly, the cow was killed. And because the cow was killed, the owner of the cow was disturbed. He came, and he was a Brahmana. He said, you have killed my cow, I'm very upset. What did you do, and why did you do, and why did you kill the animal, when the animal was in a helpless condition? He said, please, I will give you 1,000 more cows. But please excuse me, I didn't know that it was a cow. I thought that it's a deer. And just unknowingly, I shot the arrow, and it hit, and your cow is dead, now I can't do anything. So what happened? The Brahmana was angry, and he cursed again, Karna. And he said, when at the time of the enemy, when you will be approaching your enemy, the wheel of your chariot will get stuck into the mud in the battlefield. And you will have to get down to take out the wheel from the mud and release the wheel so that your chariot can move. And that time you will be helpless. And that time your enemy will shoot you the arrow. And we know the end, Karna's end. It was Krishna's trick. He cannot be defeated when he was in the chariot. So somehow or the other his wheel got stuck and he got down to release the wheel from the mud. And that time he was completely helpless. And Krishna told Arjuna, come on now, finish him off. And Arjuna shot the arrow and Karna was killed. This is the destiny. See, he was on the peak of the mountain. He wanted to be king and he would have been the king. But destiny completely dragged him down and finished him off. And that is the destiny. The same thing happened in Chitrakurit Ketu stories also. But fortunately, these Narad and Angira were there. Sage Angira was there. And that's why Chitraketu was saved. So we are going to that chapter now. It's already, I think I leave it for tomorrow. And then we'll discuss this tomorrow. But remember that these things, this envy is very powerful. And with the envy, the destiny you cannot conquer. That is definite. You try hard. You try so many plans. But unless the Lord sanctions your plans, nothing happens. Maya Dakshana Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He says, under my superintendence, your plans work. And what is the meaning of superintendence? Intendant. We intend so many things. We intend to do so many things. But unless the Lord superintends, nothing materializes. And for His superintention, we have to come to this hall daily and just join our hand and pray Him that please, please, please do whatever I can do and make me some successful somewhere, materially or spiritually, whatever you want. Can I fit into your plan? Just ask Him very humbly. Can I fit into your plan anywhere? And He will be kind then. And then maybe, because of His mercy, we will be happy in this life, and as soon as the body drops, we may be more happy, more happier than this. And that is what the devotees are looking for. This is faith. And so many things could be told. Regarding this envy, we'll finish. I'll tell you one story, you know. You'll remember this envy. There was a Muslim king in India. His name was Akbar, Muslim king. And he had the Muslim cabinet, you know. So many ministers, all Muslims. But there was one Hindu minister. And his name was Mahesh Das. Because he was Hindu, his name was Mahesh Das. And he was the only one Hindu in his whole Muslim cabinet. So Muslims were envious of him. And this Mahesh Das, he thought that I should not really keep my name because otherwise they will constantly remember that I am Hindu. So he changed his name. And he was known as Birbal. Akbar and Birbal. There are so many stories in India, famous, you know, Akbar and Birbal. And Birbal was very clever. Without his assistance, Akbar would not have expanded his kingdom and could not have managed the kingdom. So Birbal was very, very important for Akbar. But somehow or the other, all these ministers, Muslim ministers, they were very much envious of him. So they wanted to find out some plan to get rid of him. And again, you see, there is envy. All of them were envious of Birbal, and so constantly they were harassing Birbal by finding out some indifferent plans, you know. But Birbal was very clever, he could slip out always. And this time also he did it. Because he also took the assistance of envy. These ministers were envious of him, and he knew how to manipulate the envy to topple their plan. So you can remember this story, and this envy will be clear into your mind. So what happened? That one day they decided that somehow or the other, if they can convince his queen, Akbar's queen, then queen can explain to Akbar that he has to get rid of this Hindu minister. Otherwise, our plan will not work. So they found out a very nice plan. They approached the queen, you know. And queen had a brother. His name was Hussain Shah. And he was the fool, you know. Dunce. He did not understand anything. But this minister went to the king and they said, "Queen, your brother is the most clever person we ever come across, you know." Queen was very pleased. The ladies are very pleased when their brothers are praised, you know. If you want to be happy life with your wife, you should praise her brother. Ministers really pampered her, you know. And they said, "We like Hussain Shah like anything. He should be the minister, you know, always accompanying the Akbar. And instead of this, your husband always is accompanied by that Birbal, that Hindu minister. Somehow or the other, queen, it is in your hands. You can get rid of Birbal, and we want to install your brother instead of, because such a clever brother is there, and your husband is completely mad to keep that Hindu minister." This was the envy, you know, the plan, yeah? Queen said, "All right, leave it to me. I'll see that tomorrow is removed." So these plan is working, minister's plan. So they were very happy. And they went home, enjoyed the beer glass and whiskey and everything. And and then queen found out a plan, you know. She had a very nice plan in her mind. So Akbar came in the evening in the bedroom, and she wouldn't talk, you know. Akbar was standing here. Akbar comes this side. "Madam, what is happening to you?" These ladies, they can work out very nicely. So, not you, you are all Krishna conscious. Yeah? These are the talk of the outside ladies. So what happened? Wherever Akbar went, she just moved in. And Akbar was standing. "Please," he said, "please, queen, can I do anything for you?" No. "I will whatever you tell, madam, I'll do." No, he said, you don't know anything. So Akbar was completely helpless. "Please, queen, don't do this. Please talk. Please talk. I can touch your feet." Such a big king at the feet of the king. So then, somehow or the other, please tell me, I will do anything for you. "You haven't done anything." For the whole of the lifetime, the fellow is slave to the king, the queen, and she is completely disregarded. She said, "Queen, please excuse me if there is some mistake, but you tell me what's wrong. And definitely I'll do anything for you." And then queen got a grip over the king, you know. So now was the chance. You know. "My brother is so very clever," she said. "Who?" Akbar said, "Hussain Shah." He said, "Queen, you don't know he's a big dunce. You don't know me. You always do that." Again. No, he said, "All right, your brother is very clever. And you are just hanging on to this Hindu minister, Birbal." So then Akbar found out something from her, you know. "Now tomorrow, you should get rid of him." He said, "But without him, I can't really. I cannot manage the kingdom. such a big kingdom, we have to expand, we have to manage the whole kingdom. Please, please understand the importance. He is very clever. Without him we can't do. All the ministers are on one side and he is on the other side. He can compete with anybody and everybody. No, he said, you don't know. My brother is more cleverer than Birbal. What is Birbal? He does. So, all right. So, tomorrow you should install my brother as the chief minister and sack Birbal. I agree, but how to do it, he said. I will tell you the plan, Queen said. And now she thought that her plan is working. So she said, now tomorrow you do one thing, that go to the court and you please go to the market. You tell Birbal that you are going to the market and Birbal should accompany you. All right, he said. And then what to do? And then you stop in the middle of the road, you know, while going to the market. And order Birbal, go and fetch the queen. You want the queen with you. And he will come to my palace and he will request me to come to accompany you. And I am not going to come. And if I don't come, then you tell him, you accuse him that you can't do such a simple job. So how can you run the kingdom? I am just telling you to fetch the queen and you cannot bring the queen here. You are sacked from today. And that is a nice reason to sack her. And I am not going to come. He said, Akbar said, but you should be very, very clear in your mind that you are not coming tomorrow. But if you come, then the whole plan will be completely spoiled. No, he said, I am not coming at all, I tell you. All right, he said. So next day, this henpecked king went to the court. And he was completely intoxicated by that plan, you know. But he knew that Birbal is very clever. So from the figure of king, the Birbal judged that there is something going on in the mind. He sensed something, but he didn't know what is it, you know. So as soon as the king went, he called Birbal. He said, Birbal, today we are going to the market. He said, Jahapana. He said, king, respectful term is Jahapana, you know, in Hindi or in Urdu. So he said, Jahapana, I must tell you that today we have so much important business to do, and we cannot afford time to waste our time by going to the market. No, sir. We have to go to the market. And it would be all right if I don't accompany you. Somebody else can accompany you. No, you should come. Then Birbal definitely knew that there is some plan. Birbal was very clever. You know? But he didn't know what it is, you know. So he had a friend, very trusted friend. So he told, today I will need you and you please accompany us, but you should not be seen that you are accompanying us. You just follow us from somewhere. So the friend was very, very expert. So king and Birbal, both of them were going to the market and their friend was following them. So then what happened? In the middle of the road, the Akbar stopped according to the plan. And he said, Birbal, go and fetch the queen. I want the queen today with me. Birbal thought, never he orders me to go to the palace and bring the king. So queen, so there must be some plan the queen might have devised, you know. He knew that these people are envious and always he is the target. Yeah? So what happened? That Birbal said, yes, within no time I'll bring the king. And Birbal ran to the palace. And then he took his friend with him, you know. He knew that there is something cooking. So he went inside the room and he said, queen, I'm sorry to trouble you, but today king wants you and he's standing in the middle of the road. There is no time. Please get ready and accompany me. I'll take you to the king. I'm not coming. Tell him I'm busy. No, queen, don't do this, you know. Otherwise I'll be in difficulty. No, I'm telling you I'm not coming, he said. You just go and tell your king. No, queen, this is no good, you know. Please, just be merciful to me. I'm telling you, go, you know. Birbal now thought that she's not going to come. So she went outside, he went outside and conferred with his friend, you know. He made his plan. And he said, now I'm going in again to request the queen. She is not going to come. So they had their own plan. So Birbal again entered the bedroom. He said, queen, please, I can't go without you. I told you! She shouted at him. And then friend entered the room. And he said, I have a very serious message from king. But I can't tell you to everybody. It's for you only, Birbal. So I will have to come to your ear and tell you what is the message. Queen should not hear. So he went to his ear And he says, very beautiful, very beautiful, very beautiful. So the queen did not understand what is the message, but she heard very beautiful, very beautiful. And then Birbal turned to the queen, said, "Queen, we don't want you now." So queen was completely perplexed. She said, "The fellow was requesting me like anything, and now he says we don't want him. What's the trouble?" And she remembered, very beautiful, very beautiful. So she thought there must be some beautiful girl with the king. And then the women's nature, you know, how can the girl be with the king? I must be with the king. And she ran. Before Birbal went, there the queen was there. And Akbar was saying, "You see, you came." This is the envious nature. So don't fall prey to this envious nature and drive away envy from your nature, and we'll be in Vaikuntha. And eventually we don't want to be in Vaikuntha eternally. We have to go Loka Vrindavan, we have to go, and there is no envy. Envy doesn't work there. Hare Krishna. All glories to Rupa.